Hey, Wednesday night, we gave out a card as an insert of all of the college students we have right now somewhere, educating, working on their future, and we're proud of them. They're doing a great job. Every once in a while, they get to have these come-home weekends, and when they do, we enjoy having them around here. You know, Jeremy was home for a little bit, right, Aaron? And he's doing well. And he had to get back, though. Young Ty is home for the weekend, and we need to pray that his mom lets him go back, because I understand she's trying to get into a suitcase and go back with him. But he's doing great. And this is for Ty, this is what they call a ministry weekend. And so he's allowed to come home to do ministry in his local church. And so when I found out he was coming home, I asked him if he'd like to preach. And he said, sure, be happy to do that. I'm not sure if you're aware of this or not, but our church right now is actively involved in helping two other churches with pulpit fill. It's two local churches that are without pastors, and our men fill the pulpits. And we're thankful for that. Well, a couple weeks back, probably a month ago or so, 6 weeks ago, I asked Tyler, young Ty, rather, if he would go and fill the pulpit in one of these churches. And he did a great job. I watched the service afterward, did a great job, and so I wanted him to come and preach in his home church. Amen? You're excited, aren't you? Now, if you sit like this, he's really going to be discouraged. So don't treat him like you treat me. Treat him like you would treat your favorite guest preacher, right? And I'm sure Ty is going to be a blessing for all of us this evening. God bless you, Ty. Love you. Proud of you. Come preach for us.
Well, thank you, Pastor, for giving me this opportunity and just being able to preach tonight. It really is a privilege, and I really appreciate his faithfulness to the ministry over the years. He isn't a great example of what a Christian leader should be like. He's an example to me, a mentor, and I really appreciate him. I love his preaching. I love being able to sit down and not get bored. He's, I don't want to say entertaining, but he's just easy to listen to. And I always learn something. He's got little gold nuggets I can get from the messages. But most of you know I've been at college for the past 2 months or so, at least it's about around that time. And at first I wasn't really sure what to expect. I've never been to college before, never done that before, so I wasn't really sure. But I can really say that I love it, and it's a lot of fun. I've made a lot of friends. I've learned a lot. I've done a ton of things, and I've stayed extremely busy. My entire day is full practically the entire week each day. But I don't know what sleep is anymore. Don't know what that is. I haven't had a kid yet, so I'm sure that's much worse. But college is very sleep depriving. I want to thank you guys for praying for me while I'm at college. It really means a lot to me. I really appreciate it. Here's two more things that I just kind of want to stick out. They're just prayer requests. Wisdom to make the right choices. You can pray for me about that. And then you can pray for me of praying for understanding of God's purpose for my life, just trying to find out what God exactly wants, and doing his will and just trying to honor him. Those are just two simple things that you could pray for me about. And enough about me. I want to kind of just jump into this message and get right to it. Tonight I want to talk to you guys about something I feel is important. So my title today is, When's the Last Time? When's the Last Time? And I have 3 points I want to work through. It's going to be nice and short. But if you could, turn to Psalms 51. You see, in the Bible, God breaks people. You see, most people don't realize every time, but God will break you to simply mold you and make you. You see, my first point today is, when's the last time God broke you? When's the last time God broke you? If you think about it, God broke people in the Bible to teach them a lesson or to straighten them up. God broke Jonah by putting him in the belly of a whale, and he broke Jonah's pride and stubbornness so he could reach a whole city, and God knew that that city of Nineveh needed a leader like Jonah to reach over 120,000 people. But Jonah was so stubborn that God had to break him and stick him in the belly of a whale to be used by God. Another example, God broke Joseph while he was in jail for 3 years. Imagine how humbling that would be. And God broke Peter on the Damascus Road. And David was completely broken and showed us what true repentance sounds like. Now that we're in Psalms 51, I'm going to read through a little bit of this chapter and let's see what truly being broken sounds like. Psalms 51 and verse 1, "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto thy multitude of tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions, wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in thy inward part and in the hidden part, that thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me from hyssop, and I shall be clean, and wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my iniquities, blot out my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Then will I teach my transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee." Now, I won't finish that chapter, but I want to kind of dissect a little bit of these verses. If we look at verses 3 through 6, we see in verses 3, "For I acknowledge my transgressions," and verses 4, "Against thee and thee only have I sinned," and verse 5, "Behold, I was shapen in iniquity." You see, the first step to true repentance is confessing your sin and acknowledging what you did wrong. David does that in verses 3, 4, and 5. He acknowledges his sin, which is the first step to true repentance. It is realizing you messed up and you were the one to blame. The second step to true forgiveness, and we see in verses 1, 2, and 9. We see, "Have mercy upon me," in verse 1. Verse 2, "Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquities and cleanse me from my sin." In verse 9 at the end of it, "Blot out all my iniquities." You see, he prays earnestly for God to pardon him from his sins. Now, look to what pardon means. It means to be forgiven of wrongdoing. He is asking for forgiveness in verses 1, 2, and 9. And we see David realizes he did wrong, and then we see he asks for true forgiveness. Let me say this, no one forgives like God. In Ephesians 1, 7, "In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace." Most people know something about the story of David, how he was a man after God's own heart. But David found himself broken and discouraged. God broke David, but David led himself down that path of sin because of one choice, one decision. Here's a quote I made about your decisions. Your decisions will shape your life. Your choices will change your life. Your decisions will make or break your life. We all make decisions in our life. Most people fail to make the right one. And because they fail to do what's right, it hardens their heart. And there's a point where your heart gets so hard, where the preaching of God's word does not speak to you, where the Christian music you once loved bores you, where the Christians you once fellowshipped with do not excite you. But the point when God breaks you is when you are at your lowest and when it seems there is no hope. You see, our heart gets hardened when we are away from God, and God will have to break you to get you right back on the path that he wants you to be on. The simple decision David made broke him. Let's turn to Psalms 38, and we can hear how much pain in just this one verse of how he's broken. It says, "I am feeble and sore broken. I have roared by reason of disquietness of my heart." Let me say this, God will break you to make you. Sometimes we need something serious to get through our thick heads. Let me tell you a story of a young man I knew. He was the cool kid. He was the guy that played football and worked out. He was the guy that everyone loved, and he was the kind of guy that you'd want to be friends with. One day, this cool kid came to church with his grandma, and when he did, my dad went up to him and began to talk with him about Christ. But as soon as this young man heard about Christ, it was like a switch. The guy that was listening to my dad speak just shut off as soon as he heard Christ. And my dad noticed that, and you could just tell that he didn't want to hear anything about Christ. And anyways, that Sunday service passed, and my dad wanted to reach out to this young man. So me and my dad the next week went to his house. And we went to his house, and he was there, and we spoke to him on his back porch. And we began to witness to this young man again, but you could tell he didn't want to do anything with Christ. You see, he tried proving that God was fake while we were there. He was like, he would say stuff like this, like, oh, well, if God is so real, why can't I see him? If I see him, I'll believe him. And we say stuff like, well, you believe in the wind. You feel the wind. That's what you believe in, but you can't see the wind. We'd say stuff like that, but no matter what we said, he chose to believe that God was not real and that he was fake. So me and my dad left that afternoon, and as we were leaving, my dad said, you know what, we did our best. You can't force faith on someone. And he said, God's just going to have to do the rest. And I remember telling my dad, God has to break him. A few years passed, and this young man that was once the cool kid, once the tough guy, once the coolest guy in school, was struggling because he had an injury that stopped him from playing football, where he couldn't do his career that he wanted to be in because of a simple injury. The cool kid that was once so tough was struggling because his mom was dealing with a death-threatening disease. The cool kid that once had all these friends had left him and gone away. He felt lonely, discouraged, and broken. You see, when he did, he turned to the one thing he thought was best, and he came to church with his grandma. And when he did, he talked to my dad, and my dad led him to the Lord. Amen. And he's faithfully attended. You see, God had to break him and send him through a couple hard times for him to realize, you know what, I can't do this by myself. God had to break him. Let me tell you this. God will send things your way to wake you up. God will break you. But God breaks you for a reason, sometimes multiple reasons. God will break you so you will stop that horrible addiction that you have. God will break you because you're not spending enough time with Him. God will break you so that way you can be used of Him. I heard a wise man once say this in a message. He said, you know what clay is, right? In Jeremiah 18:6, we read, O house of Israel, cannot I do with you as this potter? Saith the Lord, behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are ye in my hand, O house of Israel. You see, making pottery is one of the oldest arts known to man. Some people love to watch it. I personally don't. But you will see a man with clay in his hands and a potter's wheel, and that clay gets chopped and crushed and broken. And the potter begins to squeeze that clay with his hands, and then the potter begins to mold that clay with his thumbs and fingers. And it's an amazing thing to watch, to see this ugly piece of clay turn into something beautiful. Now think of yourself as that clay. God can do with you because God is the potter. You see, we are the clay. God is the master of our life. He is the one that will mold us to make us. In Ephesians 2:10, it says, For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. God is our workman. He created us to do good works. We are here on this earth to do good works. You see, and when we stray from those good works, God's going to have to break us and mold us and shape us into clay to get us back on the right track. God will have to break you. Now, there's three uns to clay. It is unclean, it is unlovely, and it is unable. We are the clay. Now, some people think they can do it all by themselves, but God is the one that turns the wheel. God is the workman. He is simply trying to mold you and make you. And we might not understand what God is doing, but in Isaiah 55:8, it says, For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither your ways my ways, saith the Lord. See, God's ways are totally different. Let me tell you a story to prove it. There's a story of a young boy named Johnny. And Johnny was sitting underneath an oak tree one day. And Johnny was one of those kids that he thought he knew it all and could do whatever and just conquer the world. And he thought he knew better than God. And Johnny's sitting underneath an oak tree one day, and he's thinking to himself, if I was God, this is what I would do. And he's looking up at these big, strong branches of the oak tree, and he's thinking, wow, those are big, strong branches that are holding little, tiny acorns. If I was God, I would take the watermelons that are on those tiny vines, and I would put the watermelons on this big oak tree. That's what I would do if I was God. And it was about that time an acorn hit his head, and he was glad it wasn't a watermelon. You see, he thought he knew what would be best and what seemed right. But his ways are different than the Lord's, just like how our ways are different than the Lord's. God has a purpose and a plan you might not understand, but he is what he is doing. But I promise you, his way is best. My second point, when's the last time God used you? Now, if you could, take your Bible and turn to 2 Timothy 2:21. In 2 Timothy 2:21, if a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified, and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. It literally says, if a man therefore purge himself, then he shall be a vessel of honor. You guys, this goes directly with my first point. Brokenness is for a reason. God will break you to clean you from your sin. God will purge you. Purge means to cleanse of guilt and sin, to remove impurities, cleaning, to become pure, clean, or clear. God will break you to use you. God can send you through hard times so that way you can help someone else that is going through hard times. Don't just look at the hard times and blame God because he has a plan even though you might not see it yet. Now, if you would turn back to Psalms 51, we're going to look at verse 13 of Psalms 51. And we'll stay there for the rest of the night. Before verse 13, I already read it, we see that David is crying out to God because of his sin and the struggle and the pain that he went through. But we see in verse 13, we see he cries out to God and says, when will I teach my transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee? You see, David learned something. He realized that what he just went through can still be used to glorify God. He realized that there are other men struggling like he was. And he cries out to God and says, Lord, I will teach my transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. Here's another quote I made to go along with this message. A true test of a Christian's character is what he does after he comes to a blockade in a road after he is shattered and broken. So I know each one of you have gone through something hard, something tough, something that broke you. We all have in our life, and we will continue to go through things like that. Well, let me just say it again. A true test of a Christian's character is what he does after he comes to a blockade in the road after he is shattered and broken. I'd like to ask you tonight, when's the last time God broke you? When's the last time God used you? And when's the last time God used your brokenness to reach people? Now to my last point, when's the last time you led someone to the Lord? And I didn't just say share a gospel track or mention the name of Jesus. I said, when's the last time you led someone to the Lord? Because there's a difference between handing out a track, which is great. There's nothing wrong with that. But there's a difference when you lead someone to the Lord. Is that not what we're called here to do? I challenge you to share the gospel wherever you go. Me and my dad a little while ago were in ShopRite, just getting food like everyone does. And we were at the cash register, and the lady seemed to be really talkative. And, of course, we listened. And she's talking to us and telling us about how she has to work overtime and work really hard to provide for the four kids that she has and how hard life is and on. And she's talking to us, and we pay for our food, and we leave. And then I remember my dad saying as we walked out the door, saying, "Hey, you know what? I really wish we changed that conversation that we just had with that lady to something that had to do with Christ." I remember telling my dad, I was thinking the exact same thing. I wish I had a track in my back pocket. You see, I challenge you to make everyday conversations about Christ, something about God, witness to people that need God. Let's not forget to go into all the world and preach the gospel. I think as Christians, we become scared of what people will think of us. I think we are scared of rejection. I tell you what's more scary. It's not hearing, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." If we are going to be broken, let's be broken over souls enough to tell them about Jesus. Here's a song that says it well. "Many die in heathen lands, many die next door. Millions die who've never heard the love of Christ before. They need someone to tell them that you died to take their place. They need someone to tell them of your mercy, love, and grace. Lord, take my heart. I place it in your hands. Lord, break my heart, if that's what's in your plans. Whatever you have to do, take full control. Lord, give me your heart for souls. Cleanse me, Lord. Revive my heart. Consume me with your flame. Use every single part of me to bear your precious name. Guide my feet. Give me vision. Teach me what to say. I want to do your will, O Lord. Please help me to obey. Lord, take my heart. I place it in your hands. Lord, take my heart if that's what's in your plans. Whatever you have to do to take full control. Lord, give me your heart for souls." You need to ask the Lord to give you heart for souls. We are here on this earth not to just work our daily 9 to 5, but to be continually sharing what we have and that gift of eternal life, which is salvation, which is the best gift. And I challenge myself with this because I lack in the area of being bold in my faith. And I'm preaching to myself when I say we need to do more than just hand out tracts. So some people aren't even handing out tracts. We need to hand out tracts, and we need to be bold about our faith. So I'm going to ask you one more time. When's the last time God broke you? When's the last time God used you? When's the last time you shared the gospel? When's the last time we were broken and spilled out for the Lord? Would you pray with me? Lord, all of us have gone through hard times in our life, and I pray that we would take those hard times and use it for you, that we not blame you. Lord, I pray that you would just give us strength to overcome it. Lord, you never give us more than we can handle. Lord, I pray that we would just cry out to you like David did in Psalms 51 and just ask for you to purify us and cleanse us, and please help us to do what's right and to honor you and to teach our transgressors thy ways. Lord, please help us to stay purged from our sin and clean and pure and right. Lord, please help us to be pliable as clay and just please mold us and make us into how you want us to be, Lord. Please help us to stay on the right track and the right path, Lord. Lord, you are the workman, and you are the one that are holding us in your hands and spinning that wheel. Lord, use us in a mighty way, and please help us to be bold in our faith and to stay strong, and use us, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
I appreciate that. Good job. Amen. That's a good challenge. Kind of went along with what we said this morning, right? About being a follower of Christ and allowing the Lord to use our lives. Whatever he has in store for us is best, right? So let me challenge you to do this. Make a plan this week to give out a gospel tract, try to tell somebody about Jesus, do the best you can to represent him, right? That's where we're to be, little Christ, you know, everywhere we go, letting people know about Jesus. Thank you for that message. Let's bow just for a moment, and I want you to do this. I want you to make that yours. Lord, speak to my heart from that message and help me to do so. When was the last time? Ask yourself that question. Go ahead. Heads are bowed. When was the last time? When was the last time God spoke to you through your devotions? When was the last time you really had a time of prayer where you felt like you were getting through? When was the last time you really had a good interaction with someone sharing your faith? When was the last time you came to church and you really knew God was speaking directly to you? When was the last time you said, "Lord, I'm tired of fighting you. I surrender. I'm yours." When was the last time? Father, help us. Help us to be at your disposal. May we be vessels that you can use. Fill us and use us to your liking. I pray we might be pleasing to you. And if you have to, use us in spite of ourselves, just to bring glory and honor to you. Thank you for Ty. Continue to bless him in his endeavors. Give him safety as he travels back to school tomorrow. Hedge all of our college students that are away. May they just enjoy themselves, learn, become the person you made them to be. Keep them clean and pure, free from difficulty. Might they mind their testimony and their name, and we'll thank you. Blessings now upon Obi Rack. Give us a great time of fellowship. In Jesus' name we pray, and amen.
If you haven't done so already, please fill out a digital connection card so we know how to better serve you this week. For encouragement throughout your week, you can listen to past sermons by searching Open Bible Baptist Church on the Apple Podcasts or Google Play Store. If you'd like to give today, you could give online at openbiblenj.org. Thanks again for joining us today. We'll see you on the next broadcast.